Amen. Amen. So we're very excited to be here. I got to say that this church has been incredibly hospitable. Pastor Bob is just an amazing man. Just give Pastor Bob a big God bless. It really is an incredible, unique, but incredible man. When me and him walk in a restaurant together, people just, I don't know if they get scared or what, right? Thank you for everything you're doing. You're a blessing. And I want to introduce real quick, my wife and kids are here this morning. I want them to just come. And my wife, Kimberly, and my three little daughters. Wait, they're so cute. I want you to see them. Come up here. Come up here. You're so cute, too. Come here. My wife, me and Kimberly married 20 years this year. Come on, give that up. And I do this because people like, they're taken back. They think I'm weird as it is. But, you know, then they see a wife and kids. They think, well, you can't be that strange, right? So kind of helps me out a little bit. This is Luca Elena. She's 10 years old. She's an incredible soul winner. We go to Disney World. We see her in the pool. She's leading people to Jesus. She loves the Lord. I mean, I promise you. Never told her how. Never taught her how. Never brought her on one outreach. She just sees mom and dad do it. She does it herself. This is Romy. She was born on 7/7/07. It was an attack against her life. And but how many know, it doesn't matter the attacks, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You go after God's, your kids are going to be blessed. You put God first, your kids are going to be blessed. Amen? And then this is Milana. And not only was she 7/7/7, but she was 12/12/12. Say hello. And there was also an attack on her life. They said she was going to have Down syndrome. They had all the things there. They asked us if we wanted to abort these two babies. They asked us multiple times. And I say, you don't want to know what our response was. I can tell you another time. But they thought we were in fear. No, we're not in fear. We're full of faith. Amen. You either hear from heaven or you don't. Trust God with your kids. Trust God with your kids. Get your kids full of the Holy Ghost. But you know what? I just want to say this before they're seated, because otherwise they'll be running around here. When she was born, I told the Wednesday night crowd, I think, when she was born on 12/12/12, come here. When she was born on 12/12/12, I asked the Lord, I said, why'd you give us this date? I mean, two dates, they were both unplanned emergencies. And 7 and 12, and they're both biblical numbers. And I said, God, why'd you? And he brought me to Revelation 12:12, which says this. Rejoice those who live in the heavenlies. How many thankful that you live in the heavenlies? Thank you that we're seated with heaven. Thank you, nothing can touch us. Amen. It's a terrible day of the Lord coming, but it's the great day of the Lord too. And we're going to miss out on all the junk, because he already paid a price. But it says, rejoice those who are in the heavenlies, for the enemy has come down and unleashed hell on the earth. Revelation 12:12, read it. For the enemy knows, but he has a short time left. Everybody say short time. The enemy knows he has a short lease and a short time left. Don't let the enemy know something that you don't know. His time is short. Amen? And all that means is the gospel's going to go out in the last days. And God's going to sweep the whole earth. How many really believe that with all your heart? Give my family a big God bless you. Love you. Love you all. My wife teaches and preaches, and she's a fireball. She's an incredible blessing in my life. Anybody that can put up with me for 20 years is a special person. Amen. We've traveled around the world, 400 cities, over 7,500 services. We did 16 services a week. Here we're doing 20 services. Lighting fires all over the world, and especially focused on the United States of America, because we believe God's going to sweep and shake this land to its very core. Amen? A national revival. 2 million people have come to Jesus, but it's just the beginning. God said, I'm going to bring you to a family of people and leaders. I believe Pastor Mike is one of those leaders that has spoken into my life, and I thank God for him, and I want a whole lot more of it. But God's putting us on a quest for 200 million decisions. And I believe we're going to see it. I want you to open your Bibles. Are you there yet? Revelation chapter 2, and then I'm going to share my testimony quick. I'm going to pray for, I know it's going to be crazy, but I'm going to pray and lay hands on every single person this morning. And how many believe in the laying on of hands? The Bible says it's a foundational doctrine. How many know the impartation? You see it with the woman with the issue of blood, but the impartation comes from the touch of God, and it's biblical. Amen? So I know that you're here this morning. Don't ever go to a church that doesn't lay hands on people, because it's a foundational doctrine in God's Word. Jesus laid hands on people. Peter laid hands on people. Paul laid hands on people. Pastor Mike lays hands on people. Brother Tommy lays hands on people. Everybody should be, well, let me qualify that. Everybody that's called to should do that. Amen? I'm very reserved when it comes to just praying for people without an anointing there. That would be a disaster. So, hallelujah. Let's pray over this word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this written word. We thank you that you watch over your word to perform your word. Thank you, Father, everything that we see shall pass away, but your words will never pass away. Help every single one of us today and commission us to fulfill everything you have for us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, listen to this. I share this in my testimony close. Unto the angel, the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 2, the revelation of John. John was caught in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's a good wisdom for all of us that we can be. If you can be in the Spirit, you can be out of the Spirit. So be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It says he was wrapped in his power. How many feel the power of God here? I was caught up in the realms of glory. That's what John said. And he's here. He sees Jesus. And Jesus starts talking about seven churches. And the first church, the church of Ephesus. And he says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. You've tried them which say they are apostles and are not. And is born and has patience for my name's sake. Everybody say that. My name's sake. Say it loud. My name's sake. Louder you say it, quicker we'll be done. Everybody say, my name's sake. I'm not sure how to take that, really. Actually, I think I know how to take that. For my name's sake has not fainted. This church in Ephesus, this is a good way to talk to your children, by the way, because God's going to correct them on something. How many know we all need corrections and adjustments? Raise your hand. If you're not being chastened or you're not being corrected, then you're not growing. How many want to grow from glory to glory? That's why God has to do something. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. 2/3 of those don't feel so great. They're not just feel good goosebumps. Amen? But thank God for people in our life that'll speak the truth in love to us. How many know preachers are supposed to speak the truth in love? How many know preachers are supposed to tell the truth? And watch what he says. He says, I commend you for what you're doing good. You're working, watch this, you're working tirelessly. You're working tirelessly for me, but, and you're not laboring. You're cranking it. How many know churches are busy in America? Churches are very busy. If you look at bulletins, busy, 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 busy little bees. I go to some churches, the bulletin is like a magazine. But God comes and he says, look, I know you're working tirelessly for me. I know you're after it. I know you're doing great things. I know you're standing for truth, but I got something against you. How many know that's not good? If you love Jesus, you never want to hear those words. I got something against you. You want to hear those words? Well done, good and faithful servant. And watch what he says. He says, I got something against you because of something. He says, you've been working, 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 but I got something against you because you left something. You left your first love. In other words, God says, I don't care. You're not going to impress me with all your busyness and your schedule and your agenda and all the stuff you're doing for me unless you're doing the exact thing that I told you to do. And he said, you got away from something. Everybody point over here. It's okay to point today. You got away from something. You've been working tirelessly, but you got away from something. And watch what he says. He says, remember therefore from whence you are fallen and repent. Everybody say repent. Say it loud, repent. Say it like a New York street preacher. Repent. Turn or burn, fry and die. My dad preached up and down the streets in New York, so I got all those phrases I know. Amazingly, nobody listened to them. They just kept on walking. After 20, 30 years, I haven't reached anybody with the message of fry and die. Now, the gospel is good news. People got enough bad news and sad news, they need good news. Well, watch what it says. Raise your hand if you're still with me. I'll have you out by three, no problem. Just stay with me. Repent and do the first works. Everybody say first works. By the way, repent means, everybody touch up here, touch up here. Repent means to change the way you think. Keep your hand up there. Come on, you ready? Watch this. I know you're working, I know you're working, I know you're working, but get back to what you were. Change the way you're thinking. You're not thinking properly. Go ahead, touch your neighbors up here. Go ahead, touch your neighbor. Only if you know them pretty well. Right? Remember from whence you are fallen and repent and do the first works. Everybody say first works. My dad used to give me a list and he'd say, Tommy, do this, do this, do. But I knew whatever he wrote on top was the real thing that we're supposed to do. And hopefully I'll get. I wasn't able to just pick and choose. I don't like that. I don't like that. I go to the ones. I knew what he said. And you know what the top one was? Take out the garbage. In other words, there's priorities with God. We don't just do whatever we want to do. We don't just do whatever we... The church has been commissioned to something. We got to keep it simple and do what he told us to do. He said, remember, do the first works or else. Everybody say or else. I want you to see this morning. He said, if you don't get back to doing what you were doing first, everybody say it loud, first. He said, I'm going to come and do something. He said, I'm going to come and remove the candlestick from you. Right now it's a water bottle, but pretend it's a candlestick. You ready? If you don't get back to what it was all about and what you did first, I'm coming and I'm going to pull the candlestick. Listen to me carefully. Put your hand on your heart. We have in America a candlestickless church. We got a church in its form. We got a church on every corner. Empty. The glory of God, for the most part, has left our land. What was once glorious, where people once served God, where politicians loved Jesus, where there was prayer meetings in the White House and every single state house and almost every single other house, the glory of God has left. Come on. And now we celebrate radical Islam and we do nothing about it. We're the most politically correct nation there is. We don't want to tell anybody anything. Our relationships are mostly superficial. We don't want to upset anybody. In churches, we don't want to say anything that bothers people because they'll go to another church. And nobody wants to speak the truth. Everybody wants to be the good guy. But God said, watch this. Raise your hand if you're with me this morning. He said, if you don't get back, I'm going to remove the candlestick. The only hope we have is a move of God. The only hope we have is the glory of God in our land to turn this around. We must have a move of God. No man, no coalitions, no great church, no, just cool worship. No, we must have a move of God. We must see the glory of God come on people's lives. Now, there's a lot to that, but that's the very thing that draws people. The Bible says when the cloud comes in, our sons and daughters are going to run back. How many have unsaved family members? Put your hands up. We're going to see them come this week. There's different mantles. There's different mantles on different ministries. We need them all. Amen? To be a full body. But I'm telling you, we carry a harvest anointing. If you have family members that don't know Jesus and you press in this week, I promise you, as you take care of God's family, God will take care of your family. We've seen it for 15 years. I don't care if they hate God. I don't care if they curse God. We've seen people that believe in for 30, 40 years for their family. In seconds, as they're laying on an altar, God's moving in their house to hundreds of miles away. Raise your hand if you believe he'll do that.
He said, us and our family. So watch this. Let me get to the point. He says, I'm going to pull the candlestick. So how many know we're reading this, me and you, how many know the Bible's not a dead history book, right? We're reading this 2,000 years later, and we go, oh, that's it's taking the candlestick. And he says, I'm going to come quickly and remove the candlestick. In other words, I'm not playing games. God doesn't play games with church. God doesn't play games. The church plays games. Religious people play games. God doesn't play games. He said, if you don't get back to what it's all about, I'm pulling the candlestick from you. The candlestick, how many know, holds the candle. The candle holds the light. The light repels all the darkness. We got a lot of darkness in our land. We need light. We need fire. We need candle. We got to get back. How many want the candlestick restored back in our land? So I'm preaching on the glory of God all week, and God told me to share this morning. What is the key to the candlestick? What is the key to the glory? What is the key to having it restored? According to that scripture, it was the first works. Everybody say first works. And it was doing the first love. Put your hand on your heart. First love. First love and first works. First love and first work. The key word being first. Everybody say first. Now, how many know? For me reading that, wow, Church of Ephesus, you better get back to your first love. You better get back and do your first works. How many know? For me to get anything out of this 2,000 years later, I got to know what their first works were. I got to know what they got. Everybody point. Come on. I got to know what was over here and they got away from. I got to know what the key to the candlestick and the glory and the presence was. I got to know something about it. Acts chapter 19. Turn over there and we'll close. Acts 19. Give me a big shout when you're there. Let's try big and shout. Give me a big shout when you're there. Paul comes into Ephesus. Everybody say Ephesus. He said this to the Ephesian church. Get back to your first love, first works. Here's the church started in Ephesus. Here's how it says. You ready? Paul comes through and he finds certain disciples. And the first thing that he says when he finds 12, you're going to find out there was 12. Everybody say 12. There wasn't 12,000, 1,200. There was 12. Everybody say 12. You're going to find out that 12 shook a city of 500,000. You're going to find 120 turned the whole world upside down. We got churches of thousands. We can't even touch our neighborhoods. That means they had a different DNA of Christianity. They had a different species. They thought differently. Everybody touch up here. Come on. They thought differently. We got to change the way we think. Ephesus, he comes to 12 people and he says, watch, I need 12. If you were in this, I just need 12 that were in the services. Pop up. If you've been in my services the last couple days, pop up. So I need a few of you. Just come down here. My brother, come. Come, baby, come, come. God touched this dad and his daughter. Come up here. No, I just need 12 for the example. Quick. Hurry quicker. It will be 3 o'clock. 12. Tell me when I got 12. One more. I need one more. Spread out a little bit. Oh, 12. Isn't this a sharp group of 12? I want you to see this. You ready? Watch this. Paul had 12. He went to the city of Ephesus. And the first question he asked the 12 was, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? This was going to be Paul's greatest work in Ephesus, a city that was wealthy, a city of 500,000 that worshipped Diana or Artemis. They had idol that they worshipped. It was one of the wonders of the world. It was a busy city. It was a metro. Probably the closest thing we have in it in America is probably a city like Los Angeles. It was cultural. And Paul comes in and starts the church in Ephesus, and there's 12 believers there. Everybody say 12. And he says, the first question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You know why? You can't touch a city with the strength of man. You got to be filled with God. When we pray for people this morning, we're going to pray for that you would be just so flooded with the Holy Ghost. The Father sent the Son, but the Son sent the Spirit. You'll never meet the Father, but only through the Son. You'll never know the Son, but through the Spirit. You need a relationship and fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's with you. He's the one that'll do the work. He's the one that's supposed to lead you. So he says, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, we don't even know Holy Ghost what? No, we go to one of those seeker places. We don't know Holy Ghost, Holy what? The Holy Spirit can never move in the holy sanctuary. So he says, and he prays for them, and he lays his hands. Everybody put your hand towards them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, watch this. You ready for this? It says that, what did they do after they were prophesied over? They got baptized in the Holy Ghost. It says that they went. Everybody said went. They got filled and then they went. Everybody say went. All the men were about 12. Acts 19 verse 7. And he went into the synagogue. They went. They went. Say it loud. Went. They didn't sit and listen. They didn't sit and stay. They went. We have to went to people. I know that's bad grammar. We have to went to people. We got to go to people. If we don't go to them, they're never going to come. We have to be salt and light. We've got to mobilize our people. We've been training people how to win the lost one-on-one. You know what? That's new in the American church. That's new. People getting saved every single day and preaching every single day. That's like a new concept in the American church. I know they do it here, but most churches don't do it. And they went. Everybody say went. Well, where did they went to? They went to the synagogue. They went to where people didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't hang out all together. There was a time for that. They gathered together. They got filled. But the story of Jesus Christ wasn't written in a synagogue. It was written out among people. The whole book of Acts church, every single miracle happened outside of the building. How many ever heard of four walls? Outside the four walls. They went. Everybody say went? To the lost. Everybody say lost. Lost people don't know how to get back. We go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did it. They shoot in schools? Yeah, back east we had something where they came in and they just start shooting all over a school and elementary kids, and they killed a lot of them. How many remember that? Raise your hands. People come in and just shoot on military campuses now. The devil has unleashed hell on the earth. They had to get filled. They had to go, and they had to go to people that didn't know. Watch this. Synagogue. And they, what did they do when they got there? Everybody touch your lips. Stay with me. They spoke. Everybody say spoke. They spoke boldly. Everybody say boldly. They spoke boldly. They spoke boldly. People were out this week and were speaking boldly. I know it's not normal. We stopped cars. We had they called the cops on us yesterday. And you know what happened? Cop gets saved. We pray with cops. We love cops. We believe in cops. Stop coming up against the cops. Bless the cops. Pray over the cops. And if you complain about it, then be a cop yourself. You'll see how fast you stop complaining. It's bad apples in everything. Stop lumping people together. One guy does it, we want to complain about everybody else. Hello? Guess what? Find yourself in a bad... I grew up in New York, man. I grew up in New York. If you find yourself in the South Bronx, you're going to be thankful that there's cops around. It's like the world has gone mad. All right, let me finish this. Ready? Raise your hand if you're still with me this morning. Thank you for being patient. 12 were filled, and they continued. They spoke boldly. What did they do? They spoke. Everybody say spoke. The gospel is to be spoken. Somebody said, preach the gospel, and if all else, you know, if you have to use words, I don't buy that. The gospel is to be preached. The power is in the rhema, spoken word of God. The power is not in your ability. You're saying, if at all, it's my ability to make sure. No, that there's power in the gospel. Reinhard Bonnke calls it the gospel. It's not in your ability to do it. You preach the gospel. And the Bible says, watch this. You got to hurry. 12 people. You're not going to believe this. This is how the church started. Remember, we got to find out what was over here. Get back to what you were doing first. Get back to what you were doing first, or else I'm going to take the candlestick from you. What were they doing first? Here's what it says. And all those in Ephesus. Everybody say all. Close your Bibles and just listen. Everybody say all. All those in Ephesus, Greek and Jew, heard the gospel in 3 years. Now listen to this. Look at the size of our church. We got 12. If you go to a preacher's conference and you say, how big's your church? And the guy says, my church is 10,000, my church 5,000. The guy says, my church is 12.
we'd think, oh, that's a cell group or something. This was Paul's church of 12. And watch this. You ready? Put your hand on your heart before we close. The Bible says 12, full of the Holy Ghost. This was a different kind of 12. This was a different kind of 12. This wasn't just 12 pew sitters. This wasn't 12 people that you had to beg to tithe. Can you just give God just a little bit of money? Can you? Hold on. Can you just stay here? I know you're really busy in your life and stuff. This was 12 people that were sold out and dead to themselves. So full of God, so full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray for you this morning that you get so full of God and God just wrecks you. And watch this. The Bible says they went into the city, and in the space of 3 years, a city of 500,000. I know Phoenix is bigger, but I don't know how big Maricopa County is or whatever, but 500,000. A church of 12, the Bible says, reached every single person heard the gospel, both Jew and Greek. Every person. Now, how many know when the Bible says every person, it's not like, how many know every person heard? Bible doesn't, you know, stretch the truth. That means I believe they had a system for every person making sure that they heard. Because otherwise, how would they know? But look at this, 12, everybody say 12. Full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Went, everybody say went. Where'd they went to people that did not know Jesus. And the Bible says in 3 years, a city of 500,000, every single person heard the gospel. That means if numbers are relative, we should say in 3 years, this church is far big enough as one of the mega churches in the city. This church is far big enough to preach the gospel to every single person in Phoenix. Now, come on, I'm preaching Bible. Now listen, we'll close with this. What was their first, if they were doing this, and we could say in 3 years that 12 of them reached a city of 500,000 in 3 years, what do you think they were doing predominantly? How many know the gospel wasn't some sideshow? How many know it was the show? We don't go to church, we are the church. And they were out infiltrating. They were out everywhere they go, they were reaching out. I'm not going to have time to share my testimony. I shared it with the morning crew. But you know what? Here's the gist of it. I had a guy in my life that I didn't tell Jesus about. I didn't tell him about Jesus. And I heard the Lord say, tell him about me. Tell him about me. Tell him about me. Tell him about me. But I was so full of myself and so full of pride that I was ashamed of the gospel. And you know what? God's fire came on me, broke me free. And I believe he'll do the same thing for you. 12 people. Lift your hands, 12 of you. Lift your hands to heaven. We had dads and daughters. We had little kids go out. That it would become normal to be full of God. That it would become normal to actually tell somebody about a living Christ. Father, stretch your hands to them. Stretch your hand. They didn't realize that they were going to get specially blessed. Specially blessed. Thank you, Jesus. You keep telling. You keep going. It's now. You know what? It's weird when they don't want them. Keep on getting them. Keep on getting them. Keep on getting filled. Keep on getting filled. It's weird when they don't want them. It's weird when people don't want them. They should want them. If they love them, they should want them. Stretch your hand to them. Pray for them. No wonder the enemy's coming with a seeker-friendly move. They don't do any of that stuff. Don't do any of that Holy Ghost stuff. In other words, don't let God, the third person, the Godhead, have his way in his own house. Just cut him out. Bring him in the side. Kick him to the back room. Her car broke down yesterday morning. Her car broke down. She said, I'm coming. I'm going to get to the outreach. You know what? She had every reason not to. Her car broke down. You know what she did? She said, I'm not missing it. She borrowed her neighbor's car. She said, I need that donkey. The Lord has need of that donkey, that vehicle. Phil, you'll never There's pictures of her leading people all over the city to Jesus. One person. By the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Filled, my dear brother.
Same. Radical.
Put your hands as we close this morning.
Fire.
Fire in Tucson. Fire in Tucson.
Fire. Fire in Tucson.
Fire. Shake Arizona State. Shake Arizona. Send people. We don't need a little Bible club. We don't need a little Bible club on our campuses. We need people full of the fire, full of authority, to drive out every foul and wicked spirit that's deceiving our children and our teenagers. There's every kind of sexual perversion on our campuses. We want to give out cookies. You can't win a coke-sniffing, porn-watching generation with free cookies and Starbucks. You got to have fire. Lift your hands all over this church. Come on.
Fire. Filled right now.
Filled right now. Did God touch you this week? Did Dad need this? Yeah. I'm a dad. Every dad needs this. Lift your hands high before Pastor comes, and then I'm going to pray for people. Lift your hands all over this room. Just close your eyes. Lord, my life to you. It's your time. It's your time for your family. It's time. Tommy Zito's nothing. His team is nothing. We just came to tell you it's your time. It's our time right now. It's our time. We can walk in the fullness. It's the most strategic days, the most strategic years in the body of Christ right now. Your time. I prophesy this over you as we close Sunday morning. Lord, my life.
Lord, my life to you, I bring.
Phil, put your hand on them. Put your hand on them. Come, put your hand on them.
So I have to see.
Be to you a lovely
be
thing.
To you.
God, good. God, do it now. Do it now. Revival. Revival in Phoenix now. Now. Break out. Break out. Break out. Tens and tens and tens of thousands. Lord, my life to you.
Lord, my life.
Give them your life this morning. May each song I have to sing. Fill every one of us. Fill every husband. Fill every wife. Fill every mom and dad. Fill every one of our kids right now, God. Pour out your spirit on all flesh over this house. Please show me, Lord.
Please show me every day.
Oh, God.
As you're teaching me.
Spirit of God. Spirit of peace. Spirit of truth. Spirit of grace.
You say.
In your time. It's time, Phoenix. It's time for Phoenix. Oh. Oh.
My life to you I breathe.
Let each soul.
Let each soul I have to
see. Come on, stand up on your feet all over. Call on God. It's time for your family. It's time. We'll be like those that dreamed. We'll be like those that dreamed.
Lord, my life to you, I breathe.
We'll be like those that dreamed. That over them one more time. In his time, in your time, Lord.
In his time.
Receive this, the time of God.
In his time.
Know the time of your visitation. Know.
He makes all things.
It's time for marriage.
Beautiful. In his time.
You ready for this? We have 34 of us here this week. 34 of us. Guess what? 30 plus. Guess how many of us are salaried with this ministry? Every one of us took off from what we were doing. Zero, including me, including my wife. Zero. This is not a show. This is not a game. This is not a career. This is not pretense. I'm telling you, this is real. People took their vacation times for 2 weeks. People put aside multi-million dollar businesses. We have very large companies represent. People came here because they believe in what's going to happen here. They believe, they know this man of God heard this time. This man of God, one of the great men of God in the world, said, this is the time. It's the time. It's going to happen. I want to urge you this week. I know it may seem crazy. Put God first this week. Put him first. It starts tonight. I believe the most important meaning, God's got something for you. We're going to go after the service, eat a bite, and then we go pray. Not for our own. We pray for you, and we get on our face, and we cry out to God. God, move in families, move in kids, move in their lives today. This is genuine. In fact, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen people just go throw their business and say, I'll pay my own way. Flights, hotel, I want to come. I want to come and see the Harvest One. Raise your hand if you'll honor that this week and you'll honor that path, this man of God that says it's time. He's our head, and we come and submit, and we're going to obey the Lord and come this week, every morning, every night. And I don't know what's going to happen. But I know it's going to be good. And I know Phoenix is going to be forever changed. Father, thank you. Thank you. We're going to pray for everybody that wants prayer by the laying on of hands. You don't have to be scared or nervous. The presence of God comes on me and comes on you. And I believe God's going to set your week and set your year on course from the anointing, this harvest anointing. Pastor.
Get right back into this, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to bless this team. You know, I think they're